Welcome to the Standard Bread Podcast by Raising the Standards, where you'll get easy to follow retraining advice to help you feel less confused and more confident to swing into the saddle and unharness the potential of your standard bread. Here's your host, lover of a good old champ with a stamp, Nick Tassone.
Hey, Standy fan, thanks so much for joining me for this third ever episode of the Standard Bread Podcast. My name's Nick Tassone, and I'm the Director of Raising the Standards. And today I want to talk to you about that big topic, canter. It's the one on everybody's mind. It's the one that Standy owners all start to stress about from way early in the retraining journey. And it's something I want to just set you up for mentally and practically to get a really good result with. So when it comes to talking about canter, I don't want to talk about how to ask your horse to canter or any of the specifics of that just yet. I want you to take a step back and really calm yourself down about the whole thing. I find that people worry about canter so early in their retraining journeys, way before all of the things that need to happen before the canter should even be asked for have really been mastered. And that's the key to everything with standardbreds. The more you set your horse up for success by getting all those nitty-gritty little details checked off your list and going really well first, the better the chance that things like canter will just become a total non-issue because you'll have really prepared your horse well so that when you inevitably ask for the canter, it'll be a lot more natural and your horse will have a far better chance of achieving this next gear up. So let's dive right in. I've put together 5 points which you should be focusing on before you ask your standard bred to canter. The first one's a big one, and if it's something you haven't done, regardless of where you are in your retraining journey, whether you bought your standard bred yesterday or you've had them for 12 months, if you haven't had a qualified equine body worker look over your horse, you need to do that immediately. It is the first thing I do even prior to putting any feet near stirrups here at Raising the Standards because it is so important. A harness racehorse will be geared up and trained in a particular way which creates a body structure and outline and muscles which will be the exact opposite of what we need for our riding horse. Harness racing training can create scenarios where the horse can be a little one-sided and it can work completely different muscle groups, as I said, to the ones that we want to sort of work with under saddle. There also can be a range of sort of undiagnosed little underlying issues with the horse's body structures, which may go undetected in their racing life, which can be really highlighted once the horse is asked to sort of move in a different way or use different muscle groups. So it's important that you have a qualified professional there on hand very early on to do a full diagnosis of the horse's physical well-being, to sort of point out and address and diagnose, as I said, any issues that might be underlying, any inconsistencies or unevenness, and any just little niggling injuries, I suppose, as well, so that these can be treated and the horse can be really set up to be comfortable under saddle. So this is something I would recommend you do very early on, as I've said. I always advocate for going for the most highest qualification in anything when it comes to horses. So here in Australia, the association which the most qualified equine health professionals will be registered with is the Animal Biomechanical Professionals of Australia. All those professionals are either vets who have done additional study to pick up chiropractic modules or will be human chiropractors or osteopaths who have done an animal bridging specialist sort of qualification. If you're going for someone who is not registered with that association, don't be afraid to ask them, what exactly are you qualified in and how long did it take you to get that qualification and what did you have to do in terms of study to achieve your qualification? Always get people who know what they're doing. Additional to going from referrals, obviously from friends that you trust, there can never be too many questions in this area, so don't be afraid to ask them if you're hiring someone new to come and look at your horse. The second point that we want to look at is bend. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, the last episode we did, episode 2, was focused solely on bend and suppleness. The reason bend and suppleness are just so important when it comes to canter is because if your horse isn't bending around the corner properly or around the circle or wherever you're asking your horse to canter, then it's going to be really hard for them to kick up to the next gear. And if they're looking in the opposite direction to where you're asking them to go, if you're asking them to canter around to the right and give your right lead canter, and they're looking to the left, they're most likely going to give you the wrong leg. So go back and listen to that second episode to get a little bit of help and insight onto why bend and suppleness is so important. The third point I want to focus on today is setting up a good canter space. Now, we have a canter mini training course, which I'll drop a link to at raisingthestandards.com.au/03, because this is our third podcast episode, which will take you to that mini training. If you are someone who is part of our bigger Retraining the Standard Bred Track to Hack course or our Team RTS Champs with Stamps membership program, the exact same module used in the canter mini training is available in your course. So you don't need to go and enroll in that separate course. If you're part of one of these bigger programs, you can go in and have a look. But as part of this mini training, the first thing we talk about is the importance of setting up a good canter space. So I actually show in some of the video footage in that course exactly where I'm asking my horse to canter and the sort of the size of the shape and I guess the how. But what I can tell you today, just because I want to keep moving forward and not get bogged down in all the little technical details, is that you want to have certain things in the area you ask your horse to canter. I tend to find sometimes that a dressage arena will be a bit narrow for our standardbreds when they're particularly green. So don't be afraid to find a bigger, more open space where you feel safe, obviously, and only doing this when you feel safe. So making sure you've got really good control over your horse before you're asking them to canter and taking them into an open area. You know, that can really help to give them a little bit more room to move. And also you really want to make sure that the footing that your horse is working on is really sort of safe. You don't have any slippery spots. You've got an even surface. And this will just make sure that your horse, regardless of what happens when you're asking for those aids or if your horse goes a little bit faster into that trot, sometimes that happens when you're asking if you can, you get a big trot, that your horse is not going to slip over. So setting up a good, open, big, sure-footed sort of canter space is super important. Groundwork, something that even if you're up and ticking along nicely under saddle, I would recommend that you go back and look at. You want to make sure that your horse has a lot of practice with canter before they're dealing with a rider on board, because the things that we do in the saddle, as little as whether we're leaning forward or slightly to one side, they can really impact upon our horse, particularly when they're quite green. So we need them to get some good miles under their tires, so to speak, in terms of feeling confident and balanced in that canter gate without us being involved. And you can also do things on the ground like assess which is your horse's preferred canter lead, which will help you immensely under saddle, because if you are asking your horse to canter on their non-preferred lead, we tend to find standies are pretty one-sided when it comes to canter. And it can take that second canter lead, can be something that takes weeks and weeks or months and months of steady training to achieve their sort of bad leg, inverted commas. So if you're asking, you don't know which is your horse's good lead and you're asking on the bad lead first, you're not going to get a result. You're going to get very frustrated and you're probably going to just set your horse up for a massive fail. So on the ground, you can discover things about your horse that you maybe can't feel under saddle. Or if you're pushing forward under saddle and you're not taking the time to really take a step back and notice little details, this can really sort of impair your progress on the whole, I think. And the final point I want to talk about is something that we don't really think about, and that is, what is our experience as a rider with a good balanced canter? Now, I'm just going to let that marinate for a second, because you might be sitting there listening thinking, well, what do you mean by that, Nick? What I mean is that I often find a lot of riders who are attracted to standardbreds because of their fantastic natures are people who either rode a lot as young teenagers and have come back after a 20-year break as an adult, and you want to get back into riding on something that's pretty nice and gentle, you've ended up with standies. Or you might be someone who did a lot of non-technical sort of trail riding in the past, and for example, and now you want to do a little bit more in the arena, a bit more of a secure space, and you're asking your horse to do things like canter, which it's difficult for the horse as well. But you're sort of figuring out how, to, you know, what are the correct aids for canter, whereas you may have been on a trail ride where you just sort of kick the horse up and hope for the best, whereas now you've got to set your horse up, you've got to know where to ask for canter and what are the aids and what is your body meant to be doing. That can be something that you need to work on. And also, sorry, just to digress, if you're someone who hasn't ridden for a while or you're not riding very regularly, you won't be conditioned physically to sort of sit with a really green standardbred's canter, because it can be quite huge. It can be really unbalanced. They can do a lot of sort of popping out and drifting from the shoulders. And it takes a lot of physicality for the rider to stay in the saddle nice and balanced, to control the rhythm, to put the legs on, to keep lifting the horse up through that rhythm. you know, it's something that you probably want to be a little bit fit before tackling. When I say fit, I mean ride fit, conditioned for that sort of thing. So that's something that I think that you should work on as a rider. Now, we do have a course on our digitalhorseschool.com platform called Ride Fit. It is about reconditioning the horse and rider to come back into a steady exercise for both body and mind. Mind particularly for the rider if you've got confidence issues or you're finding it hard to find motivation. That will walk you through that sort of process. But the idea is that you really want to be conditioned before asking your horse to do something that they're going to find very difficult. So what I would recommend is either go through a program like Ride Fit concurrently with doing your groundwork with your horse, or probably because I still think this is valuable to do anyway, go and either borrow a horse who is just a rock solid schoolmaster that a friend owns, or go and book a couple of private riding lessons on a nice schoolmaster with a great coach who can just get some miles under your tires as well and practice with this canter rhythm. You want to just make sure that you're sitting nicely, that if you do have a coach there, they can tell you, make some little corrections so that you're sitting a lot better. And so you sort of know what aids to ask and how to ask, and you know that you can sit with that rhythm really nicely so that when you bring that together with your horse, you're the leader and you're feeling really rock solid with this, and your horse can just sort of pick up on those vibes and really be set up to worry about themselves without having to worry about balancing their rider as well. So yes, those are the five key points that I would encourage every standy rider to go back and think about prior to even approaching canter under saddle. So those points are, just to summarize, bodywork, bend and suppleness, setting up a good canter space, groundwork, and getting the rider to feel some experience, some recent experience with the canter rhythm. I've put together a little PDF guide for you, as I like to do at the end of these sort of little podcast episodes, which will allow you just to sort of summarize the content so that you don't have to take notes wildly. And also there'll be a little checklist in there so that you can sort of check off all the things on that list and feel like you're in a much better space to be able to approach canter. So you can find that at raisingthestandards.com.au/03. Thanks so much, guys. I look forward to chatting to you with the next episode. Bye.